Come on up, kids. Hey, good to see you guys. Way to go, Emma Joy. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, something you are thankful for.
Toys.
Toys. Figured that one might come up.
Sweets.
Me too. Something you're thankful for.
The Lord.
The Lord. Very good. Me too.
The Earth.
The Earth. We got a great Earth. Yeah, what else?
Video games.
Video games. Okay, some of us are not thankful for those. What else?
The Bible.
The Bible. Very good. What else? What are you thankful for?
That Jesus loved me.
That Jesus loved me. I'm thankful he loves you too. And mommy, what about mommy and daddy? Thankful for mommy and daddy?
Mommy, daddy, and mom.
And everybody, the whole family. What else?
That we have to have a clean house.
That we have to have a clean, thankful that we have to have a clean house or that we have a clean house? Maybe both. Good. You have another one?
Yeah. Toilets.
Toilets. Hey, they're good. You know, how about indoor ones? We got indoor ones now.
Yeah.
You know what? Some of these people, they could tell you stories. They used to have to go outdoors in the winter to go to the toilet.
I know.
Seriously. What else?
Be nice, though. Be nice.
We have to drink water and food to survive.
Okay, I'm glad we have to drink water and food to survive, too. All right. You know, today, something none of you mentioned. Oh, you got another one?
That Michael's my buddy.
That Michael's your buddy? Man, me too. That's great. He's my buddy too. We got a common buddy. Hey, let me see that motorcycle you got there. I happen to be interested in those.
Hey, I have it.
We now will take a side trail. No, just kidding. Hey, you know, today we're going to talk about something that you guys probably don't think about. I'm thankful that one day everyone who is a believer in Jesus is going to get a brand new body. Did you know that? We're going to get new bodies we're going to talk about today. Well, yeah, race car. Let's pray together, all right? Good job. You got another one?
But our mom has a new Bible already.
A new Bible. But we're going to get new bodies. Arms, legs, feet. Ruby's got one. You got one, Ruby?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. We got the microphone. Go ahead.
You know what? I really like playing with my toys all the time.
Oh, man, that's something to be thankful for, especially if Mom and Dad let you do that. You know what? You have a long car ride coming up, I hear, so you might get a chance to play with those for a long time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the thankfulness of these kids. Thank you that they're here today, and I just pray that you'd bless each one of them. We are thankful to you for them. Pray that you bless us as we study your word this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Off you go. Good job, guys. Good to be thankful for many things. Let's be thankful for Jerry and Wanda who lead those kids in children's church. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles if you would please, and let's open them together to 1 Corinthians 15. If you don't happen to have a Bible with you, there should be one near you. I would encourage you to follow along as I do each week because I want to strengthen your faith in what God says. And what he says to you this morning is that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the day is coming when you are going to get a new body. I don't know if you've reached the age yet where you're thankful for that, but many of us have reached that age. It happens somewhere around 40, 50, you know, somewhere in there. But let's talk this morning about your new body. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 35, we're going to go all the way down, Lord willing, to verse 49. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there are one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So did I hear right that this Thursday is Thanksgiving? And that's amazing, isn't it? Every year it just sneaks up on us and then we say, wait a second, Thanksgiving is already here. But you know what? If you are a believer in Christ, every day should be, in a sense, Thanksgiving, right? We have so much to be thankful for, and the will of God for all of us who are believers in Christ Jesus is to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, that means in every circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But let's admit it, giving thanks in every circumstance can be difficult to do, especially if your body is not cooperating. Ever had that? Yeah. For example, you get a headache, or a toothache, or a backache, or all three. Not easy to give thanks in that circumstance. How about if you have shoulder pain? Anybody? Knee pain? Ankle sprain? Broken big toe? Not easy to give thanks when that's going on. How about if you're sick or tired or sick and tired of being sick and tired? It's not easy to give thanks in that circumstance. And with age, you know what? That can be often that we have aches and pains and we're sick and tired, or it can even be all the time. Why is that? It's because this body, over time, is breaking down. That's right. This body, over time, is breaking down. You who are younger, you don't get it yet. You don't understand this, but ask your local first-string quarterback, and he'll tell you that you cannot do forever the things you used to do. Yes, Peyton Manning is sitting the bench. He's in Denver today. You can't throw that thing like you used to throw it, or maybe as often, or as accurate. You can't take the hits you used to take. They themselves, pro athletes, Olympians, former Olympians, would testify that this body, over time, is breaking down, and what's worse, there is no doctor or pharmacy in town who can stop it. No one. You can't make it stop. Enough of the bad news. All right, that was the bad news. Part two is the good news. Already time for part two. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you know Him as your Savior and Lord, I have good news for you, and that is that even though this body which you have now is over time breaking down, there is coming a day when you will be getting a new body. A new body. And in the text that I just read to you, God is going to tell you just how good that is going to be. Now notice how the text begins with two questions in verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? These are actually more than questions. These are objections that Paul knew someone would have to the resurrection of the dead. And the reason people to this day have these objections is because they lean on their own understanding and they think, oh, come on, ha! How are the dead going to be raised up? And then he'd probably give you examples like, what about the guy who's burned in a fire? What about the woman who drowned at sea? What about someone, what about that lady in the Old Testament in Judges 19 and 20, right? Who had her body dismembered? What about Jonathan, John the Baptist? How are the dead going to be raised? That's one objection to the resurrection. And question number two, or objection number two, and with what kind of body do they come? Explain that one, Paul. And Paul says, verse 36, you foolish one. You know why he says that? Because there were people in the church at Corinth. Let's remember the context. He had preached the gospel of Christ to that church. They had believed it. They had believed that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day, He ascended into heaven, He's coming again. Amen. They believed that. And then over time, whatever happened, we don't know exactly, something happened that some of them were starting to say, there's not going to be a resurrection of the dead. You know why? How can that be? What kind of a body are they going to have? Ha, ha, ha. Some of them started leaning on their own understanding. Is it wise for any person to reject truth rather than seek to understand it? The Bible calls those people fools. And you know what people do all the time today? Rather than listen to what you have to say about Christ and the gospel, they reject it. Paul says, you senseless person. And then what he does to expose their foolishness for rejecting truth rather than seeking to understand it, he gives the simplest of illustrations. He says, how are the dead raised up? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Verse 37, and what you sow, you don't sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain, and God gives it a body as He pleases, to each seed its own body. Very simple illustration to answer the first objection, which was what? Verse 35, how are the dead raised up? Answer to the first question? The dead are raised up like a plant from a seed. And he's going to follow through with that illustration. That's the answer to the first question. How are the dead raised up? They're raised up like a plant from a seed, something everybody is familiar with. You know how you do this, right? You put a seed in the ground, grain of wheat, it goes into the ground, that body or that shell dies, but that same life, that tomato life, that cucumber life, it comes up out of the ground with a new body. And in verse 42, he says, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. Now, he's dealt with the first objection, but everything else he has to say is going to deal with the second one. Notice the second objection, verse 35. And with what kind of body do they come? And what I want to do with the time remaining is I want to give you Paul's answer, God's answer to that question, with what kind of body. And to do that, I'm going to give you five adjectives to describe your new body in order that you will give thanks to God for your new body, even before you get it. Okay? Five adjectives to tell you what kind of body you're going to get. The first is new and improved. That sounds familiar, right? By the way, all of these are going to be hyphenated words. New and improved. Your body is not going to be the same one that you have. You are not getting this body back. Hallelujah. That's good news if you realize this body has got some issues. You're not going to get the same one. And this was a common misconception in those days. It's a common misconception today. People think they're going to get the same body back. No, you're not. It's not going to be the same body. It's going to be new and improved, like a seed. Verse 37. Verse 37, take a look. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. And then verse 38 says, but God gives it a body. In other words, in a similar way, this body, your body, the old body, the natural body, is going to be sown into the ground like a seed. And when you come up, if you are a Christian, you're going to come up from the dead. You're going to come up with a different body. Not going to be the same. It's going to be new, based on everything else he says, new and improved. Second, your body's going to be not only new and improved, it's going to be given by God. You're going to have a given by God as He pleases body. This is more good news, verse 38. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and verse 42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. In other words, this body gets sown into the ground. This body, like a seed, like a shell of a seed, goes away. And you, same life, you come up with a different body given by God as He pleases. This is more good news. You know why? Because God does this all the time. Seeds are sown into the ground all the time. And they come up out of the ground, not like they used to be, but with a new body, all the time. In other words, God has infinite experience in giving seeds new bodies. You're getting one. Hallelujah. This is good. You're going to have a new and improved, given by God, body. Number three. Uniquely suited to where you'll be living. Hyphenate the whole thing. You're going to have a uniquely suited to where you'll be living body. That's a good body. Look at verses 38 to 41. Verse 38. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body, which means God gives to each kind of seed its own kind of body. You know, to a tomato seed, a tomato kind of body. To a cucumber seed, a cucumber kind of body. Well, you're going to get a people kind of body, a risen person kind of body. And God does that based on where He intends that plant or that body to live. Look at verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. Now these, another illustration, right? These are various kinds of bodies that we all see in creation. They're not all the same. They're different based on where God designed them to live. For example, birds live and play in the sky. So they have feathers and wings. Fish live and play in the sea. And so they have scales and fins. Animals and beasts, they play in the wild or in the outdoors where the deer and the antelope play. And so they have thick skin and a fur. We were designed, interestingly, to live on land, but to have dominion over the beasts, the birds, and the fish. So guess what? We got a body with hands and fingers and feet and toes and a mind, and we can create things that allow us to hang out in the water, go up into the air, run around on land, make shelters. We can live almost anywhere. North, south, east, west, we can roam the globe and come up with ways for us to live there. It's amazing, isn't it? You watch some of these shows on TV and you think, we got people living up there in Antarctica. We got people living down there. We got people living over there out in the desert. Wow. That's right. Because God has given you a body for this life, you're able to fly, swim, hunt, and fish. You are fearfully and wonderfully made for life here on earth. But you're not going to live here forever. And if you are Christ, where are you going to one day live? Not here, but in heaven. So look at verse 40. There are also celestial bodies, heavenly bodies, bodies designed to live in heaven. And there are terrestrial bodies, bodies designed to live on the earth. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now glory, stop there for a moment. Glory has to do with attributes that make a thing or person praiseworthy. You know, a great athlete has attributes that make him worthy of praise. Oh, he's great, he can do anything. As announcers get paid lots of money to exalt man. They're very good at it. Glory has to do with attributes that make a thing or person praiseworthy. Well, all the bodies that God has made, whether they are celestial or terrestrial, earthly or heavenly, all those bodies that God has made have their own glory. They have attributes that make them worthy of praise, well suited to live where they live and do what they do. Verse 41 says there's one glory of the sun. For example, it warms you up during the waking hours from 93 million miles away. Wow! Praise God for the sun. Not praise the sun. Praise God for the sunshine that can warm us up from 93 million miles. Comes up in the morning, beautiful sunrise. Goes down in the evening, beautiful sunset. It glorifies the Lord. And there's another glory of the moon. What does it do? It reflects the light of the sun, serves as a night light anywhere you go in the world. Have you ever been on the other side of the world? Guess what? They also have full moon, partial moon. It's amazing. And then there's the glory of the stars. What do? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. From 100 million miles away. Every one of them unique. Each one different degree of brightness. You look up there and Man, you go out into the countryside, you go up to Lake City, and you look up the sky, and I go, wow! I didn't know there were all that many stars! Billions and billions of stars! And one star differs from another in glory. Each unique. What's the point? Think God doesn't know how to make bodies to live in heaven? That's what He's going to do with you. So also, verse 42, is the resurrection of the dead. In other words, you're going to get a new body. It's going to be new and improved. It's going to be given by God. It's going to be uniquely suited to your dwelling in the heavens with God forever. You can trust God. Isn't that good? Thank you, May. Amen. A new body. This is really good news. He is answering the objection of the skeptic. Oh, what kind of a body? And he says, think about a seed and a plant. That kind of body. New and improved, given by God, well suited to where it's going to dwell. Now, as if that wasn't enough, these are the general answers to the question, those three. Now he gets into specifics, but I'm going to sum them up with one. In what follows, he gives a series of four contrasts, but they all say that your new body will be gloriously changed. Gloriously changed. Look what he says. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is, verse 42, sown in corruption, but raised in incorruption. Gloriously changed, transformed. When it says sown in corruption, corruption is a word that means decay. And that describes the state of our bodies both while we're dying and at the point of death. It also describes, by the way, the world we live in today. Romans 8:21 says that this creation right now is in bondage to corruption. Meaning, the creation we live in today is decaying and we can't change it. It's in bondage to that corruption. It is in the process of gradually winding down. And we look forward to the day when that'll change. Well, same with your body. It's sown in a state of corruption, that sad state of decaying and breaking down over time, but it will be raised in incorruption. No more corruption, no more decay, no more aches, no more pains at the start of every single day. Oh, happy day. Right? Oh, happy day. You know that song? Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. That's good stuff. Oh, happy, you can Google that and get a good rendition of Oh, Happy Day. This is really good. Raised in incorruption. Not only is that going to be the state of your new body, that is going to be the state of things where your new body is going to dwell. No more decay in eternity. Look what else he says. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. Stop there. Honor is a value term. We had that in Trek this week in Awana. Honor is a value term. To honor something meant you put a price tag on it. Stamp what the price is. Well, sown in dishonor means your body is sown in a state of little to zero value. You're going to have a hard time selling that thing. Nobody, you don't want it anymore, and nobody else wants it either. So what do? We bury it in the ground in a very nice looking box. Or we have it cremated and we put the ashes in an urn. It doesn't have any value. That's the state of things. It gets sown in a state where your body has zero value. It has served its purpose. One day your body will have served its purpose. But it's raised, hallelujah, in glory, in a state of being priceless, of infinite worth in eternity. Turn over to Philippians 3:20 for a moment. Philippians 3, verse 20. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. We're reminded of a similar thing here. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3, verse 20 says, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we so eager for Him to come? Part of it is the new body. Who will, implied, when He comes, transform our lowly body. Remember when we studied that? It literally says He's going to transform this body of humiliation. Because it's humiliating what happens to this thing over time, isn't it? It gets wrinkly. It starts breaking down. You can't run and jump without hurting yourself. And then when you hurt yourself, it takes forever to heal. He is going to transform this humiliating body so that it may be conformed to His glorious body. Literally, His body of glory. That's what you're getting. How's he going to do that? According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself, it will not be difficult for Christ. When he comes, he's going to transform these bodies of humiliation to be conformed to his glorious body. You are going to get a body that is gloriously changed. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, having no value, raised in glory. If that's not good enough, it gets better. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Weakness. Asthenia is the Greek word, which is the Greek word for illness and infirmity. What this means is that your present body does not have the capacity forever to fight off sickness and disease. You just don't have the power. You know, you get older and you can't fight that illness off anymore. You can't fight it off like you used to. And you can buy Theraflu and you can buy all the little remedies and they'll help you. But you know what? It's limited. It's temporary. You're going to get sick again. Something is going to hit you that eventually is going to take you out. It's sown in this state of being weak, fatigued, unable to overcome death. One man says, because of this weakness, our bodies spiral us downward into frustration. Well, isn't that true? We get so frustrated. It's frustrating. You can't do what you once did. And if you try, like I do, you get hurt. And then when you get hurt, you can't heal up like you once did. I called my mom this week, and she was talking about things that are wrong with the body. I mean, that's always, you know, topic of conversation. You know, my shoulder. And she says, what about you? And I said, did I tell you about my big toe? She said, no. And I know I've told some of you, but not all of you, about my big toe. So I said, Mom, picture this. Picture this big blow-up thing. It's this game thing. It's a big inflatable thing like a balloon. There's these two lanes on there, and my fellow pastor Dan and I would get up on the lane, and we get down to the far end, and I said, Mom, we put on this vest, and there's a clip on the back of the vest, and you clip to the back of the vest a bungee cord, and you run down the lane as far as you can get until the bungee cord whips you backwards. My mom howled. She thought that, she said, I just pictured that. You running down and being whipped back by a bungee cord. I said, well, Mom, doing that, I broke my toe. It was 4 weeks ago and it's still not healed. She loved that. She just thought that was great. Of course, that led into a good discussion about what I was going to share today. I said, Mom, do you know every believer in Jesus Christ is going to get a new body? And one day I'm getting a new body. It's going to be new and improved. It's going to be given by God. It's going to be uniquely suited to where I'm going to be dwelling and what I'm going to be doing. And it's going to be gloriously transformed. No more corruption. It's going to be incorruptible. Right? And no more weakness. It's going to be raised up, look what he says, in power. This means you will have all the capacities necessary to serve the Lord in eternity. Your strength will not wane. You will not suffer weakness, illness, or fatigue. This is good news, beloved. This is the gospel of your new body. And verse 44, it is sown a natural body, raised a spiritual, or better, supernatural. Sown a natural body, raised a supernatural body. Verse 45, so it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam, that's Christ, became a life-giving spirit. The risen Lord Jesus Christ is going to give new life to your dead body, transform it to be able to live with Him in heaven forever. However, verse 46, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. You need to endure life in this body a little while longer. But soon and very soon, right? We're going to see the King and you're going to get a new body. Afterward is the spiritual. Verse 47, the first man was of the earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those made of dust. In other words, before we knew Christ, we were nothing but earthy. Nothing but dust. And headed for dust. But listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I've got good news for you. So also are those who are heavenly. That means those who are born of heaven are going to get a heavenly body. If you've been born again by the Spirit, you are headed for a body that is incorruptible, powerful, supernatural, glorious, and like Christ. Did I give you the last one yet? Fifth, Christ-like. You're going to get a new and improved, given by God, uniquely suited to where you're going to live, gloriously transformed, Christ-like body. That's what he says. Verse 48, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that's Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. That means we will be like Christ in all the ways just stated. Doesn't mean you're going to be 33 years old. Doesn't mean you're going to look exactly like Jesus. It means you're going to get a body like his resurrected body. And I can't wait to walk through walls and rise up through the sky. Because you're going to get a supernatural body. I think it's going to be realistic. No jetpacks. So question, as we close. How certain is this? How certain is this? Well, remember that Jesus Christ promised it. John 14:19, end of the verse. Because I live, you also will live. That's a promise of Jesus Christ. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, then because he lives, you can face tomorrow. Second of all, God predestined this. If you don't like predestination, repent of that. You should love predestination. Because God has predestined that every single believer in Christ is going to be conformed to his image. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Man, you should say, praise God for the doctrine that he has predestined me to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Without that, you have reason to doubt, but with it, you should never doubt. Third, the Spirit of God in you guarantees this will be true. 2 Corinthians 5:5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 5:5. And therefore, if you believe this, there is one thing you should do. Verse 57, thanks be to God. You should be thanksgiving every day, even in the circumstance of aches and pains and surgery recovery. You should be thanking God every day. Thank you, God, that this is not the end of the story. I am going to get a new body. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your grace to us. Thank you for the good news that we have in Christ. Thank you for the promise of a new body in heaven that will be for eternity. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.